Good morning and welcome back to the Word for Life Radio Ministry. It's always a joy to be a part of your morning activities, whether you're sitting with a cup of coffee or maybe even on your way to work. I've talked to some folks that have told me that they listen to this broadcast at work, and so that's an early start for the day. Or you might be fixing lunches for the kids. I have no clue what you're doing, but thank you for joining us for the various types of things that we like to share, whether they be interviews or Bible studies of some sort. Today we would like to do a short Bible study on the highest form of selfishness. I wonder what that is, the highest form of selfishness. Well, Exodus chapter 20 is our passage that we begin with. So if you have a Bible, open it up to the second book of the Old Testament. And of course, you recognize Exodus 20 as the location for the Ten Commandments. We want to look at one verse, and that's verse 17. It says in that verse, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, nor shalt thou covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant," that's his staff, "or his maidservant, or his ox," that's his work tools, "or his ass," that's his transportation, "or anything that is thy neighbor's," whatever toys they have or whatever. In other words, the whole commandment relates to coveting. What somebody else has, you don't, but you want it. Thou shalt not covet. You know, many believers believe that there's no scriptural prohibition against gambling. But how can you practice it without violating this commandment? Note the foolish statements that are often made to justify the practice of gambling on the part of God's children. Well, first of all, I don't think it's a sin because it's not a problem for me. It's not an addiction. Now, if it became an addiction, then it would be a sin. In other words, they're saying it's okay to gamble until it becomes an addiction, and then they've got to quit. But the only problem is, if it's an addiction, it's really hard to quit. See, it's a whole lot easier not to start something than to quit after an addiction has been fed. So I guess my question is, why start something that even has the possibility of becoming an addiction? Not really wise. Well, the second justification that I often hear as a counseling pastor, you know, "Pastor, if I win, I'll tithe, and that'll certainly benefit the church." Oh, my goodness. I'll tithe. Well, what if you were using that same reasoning for running a prostitution ring? Would you tithe on the proceeds from that? In other words, is it okay to sin in order to get a chance to benefit some with the proceeds of it? Of course not. Well, that's kind of what the thinking is. Or how about this one? "I'll only buy a lottery ticket when the prize goes over a certain amount." In other words, the greater the stakes, the greater the chances that you will lose. Is it just an innocent form of entertainment for you? Are you willing to become a participant in an entertainment that has, first of all, ruined many a home? Yes, gambling has ruined many a home. It takes food from children and plunges many into despair and depression, often leading to suicide. Gambling. We say, "Well, Pastor, is there literally anything in the Bible about it?" Well, I'm glad you asked. First of all, gambling violates the principle of stewardship. See, taking chances on profit by taking money from others is not God's definition of work. Now, sometimes people will say, "Well, how about starting a business? Isn't that a gamble?" When you're starting a business, you are offering a product or a service to someone. You're not sure whether or not it will be a go or be profitable, but you're not taking money from somebody else. That's the difference. In gambling, the only way you get money is for other people to lose money. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2 that we are to be found faithful. It is required of stewards to be found faithful. And so consequently, we must remember that part of my faithfulness is am I following biblical principles for getting this money? The Bible says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Now, notice that word, give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Give. It's not talking about taking and somebody else is losing. It's talking about giving. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible tells us, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold or the various types of grace of God. In other words, whatever God has given you, he's given it to you so that you can have a channel to give to other people. In other words, that you can be a blessing. Now, obviously, taking somebody else's money that they've lost in gambling is not being a blessing to them. So it violates that principle. Secondly, gambling is a clear violation of the principle of industry. See, God calls people who want something for nothing slothful or sluggards. In fact, 60% of compulsive gamblers engage in criminal activity to support their gambling. And they're more likely to run up large debts and destroy their relationships in the family. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:11, not to be slothful in business, but fervent in spirit. Fervent in spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:28 that we are to work with our hands so that we can give to the needy. It says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10-12, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Now notice the emphasis on working. Working. In Proverbs chapter 28, verses 19-22, the Bible is telling us some principles concerning working. Notice verse 19. It says, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, and he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound in blessings, and he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Oh, trying to get money quickly, hastening to be rich, you won't be innocent. The Bible says in verse 22, he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come unto him. So consequently, God is simply saying that is not his plan for your prosperity. His plan is to work. His plan is industry. Thirdly, gambling is a clear violation of the principle of contentment. Contentment. You see, we are told in everything that we do that we should be content. Notice, if you will, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. There are no U-Hauls behind the hearse. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men. It drags you to the bottom, in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Notice the spiritual aspect of it. Always trying to get more money is a temptation then that causes them to leave the faith and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Many sorrows. So consequently, God has simply said that it's a clear violation of the principle of industry. It's a clear violation of the principle of contentment. In fact, the Apostle Paul, remember, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, says that I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be what? Content. Now, notice he said, I have learned. In other words, it's a process. And he said in the next verse, verse 12, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. In other words, the principle of learning how to live with what I have. Someone has said, if you're not content with what you have, you'll never be content with what you want. How true that is. Then in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 4, the Bible tells us, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. It's kind of like you're winning at the poker table, and you keep winning, keep winning, keep winning, keep winning. And what happens to them? It's like they make wings and fly away. All of a sudden, they're all gone. You've lost it all. You see, if you're not content with little, you're not going to be content with great riches. Then also, gambling is a clear violation of self-control because it can become addictive so quickly. In fact, in America alone, there are more than 6 million pathological and compulsive gamblers, and 500,000 of them are teenagers. See, Americans now gamble more money each year than they spend on groceries. I'll say that again. Americans now gamble more money each year than they spend on groceries. See, Proverbs 25:28 tells us that we have to be very careful because in doing so, we have no rule over our spirit. Interesting verse. It says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. If you cannot control your spirit, the spirit of lust, the spirit of coveting, then you become defenseless. Next, gambling can bring a believer to the point that his life is not above reproach. See, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 to 3, don't let covetousness become something that controls your life. It's amazing the list of sins that are involved there in those three verses of Ephesians 5. And covetousness is right there in the middle of them. You see, we're to be blameless and without rebuke. And we can't be when we're involved in this. It's also a violation of the instruction to avoid evil associations. See, some unbelievers, still believe it's wrong for Christians to gamble, and so consequently it would hurt your testimony with those unbelievers if you were there gambling. And 1 Thessalonians 5:22 tells us to abstain from all appearance of evil. Well, there's still so much more that we need to share. So be sure to join us next time we're together as we look at the ultimate form of selfishness. And sad to say, I have talked to Christians who have failed to see the sin, the deception, and the danger of gambling in their lives. Be sure to join us next time as we continue this same topic. Until the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.